Good morning. Good morning, sons and daughters of the Most High God. I'm so glad you're here. And we're glad that some of you are back after being gone for 6 months. Oh, did I just look at y'all?
It felt like it, didn't it?
It felt like it to us. We're like, okay, you know. We're glad you're back, though. I know you had a lot going on. Glad you're back. And want to continue to pray for the folks here in Tennessee and Kentucky that got hit with tornadoes yesterday. And some loss of life and obviously some property damage. So keep praying for our neighbors up north of us. So we're in Matthew chapter 6. We're just studying verse by verse through the book of Matthew. And we're going to try to accomplish all of chapter 6 this morning. So if you take your Bible, those of you watching online, we invite you to take your Bible too and follow along with us and enjoy the word here. It says, "Be careful not to do your acts of righteousness before men to be seen by them. If you do, you will have no reward from your Father in heaven." Now we know in the book of Revelation, it talks about the bride had made herself ready by acts of righteousness. So these are things that we do as the bride of Christ. That's what we do as Christians, as believers in Jesus. We do works of righteousness. We do works that were prepared in advance for us to do. We're going to get into that in just a second. But Jesus is warning us not to do our acts in front of people to be seen by people. It's all right to do a deed of kindness in front of other people with other people watching, but it's about the heart. This whole Sermon on the Mount is about the heart. Jesus continues to point to the heart. What's your heart and why you're doing this? If you're going to feed the poor, are you putting the groceries in their hands and blowing a whistle so that everybody can see you putting the groceries in their hands? Back in the day, the religious people might have someone stand beside them and blow a trumpet. Jim's about to give groceries to so-and-so. Everybody would turn their head, right, and see what was going on. Jesus is saying, don't do that. Give from your heart. Give because you want to give, not to be seen by men. So this is the point of this. So when you give to the needy, do not announce it with trumpets, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and on the streets to be honored by men. I tell you the truth, they have received their reward in full. So if you're giving a gift and you're wanting to make sure people see you give the gift, that's your reward. It's people seeing you give the gift because that's what you wanted. But if in your heart you're wanting to please the Lord, that's what will be rewarded. But when you give to the needy, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing. Now, he's not talking about you got a gift and so you got to put it in this hand and hide the right hand, right? Or hide the left hand so you won't see it. No, it's about the heart. It's about the heart. So that your giving will be in secret. Then your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. Now this phrase comes back three times in this passage here, and I'm going to make a point at the end of the message about that. He will reward you. And when you pray, now it goes to prayer, and when you pray, do not be like hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the street corners to be seen by men. So there would be people who would have these memorized prayers or written out prayers, whatever it was, and they would stand on the street corners and they would blow a trumpet and everybody watch, this guy's going to pray. And he would pray this elaborate prayer. And everybody go, that's an amazing prayer. I don't know about you, but I grew up in an era where the King James Version of the Bible was the version everybody read and taught from. And it was amazing to me how the men and women in my church would pray in King James. That's what we learned, right? Right? I did, right? Those of us who grew up learning that language, we prayed in King James Version. And so what Jesus is saying here is your prayer is not supposed to be flowery. It's not supposed to be perfect. Here's the thing about your prayers. Have you ever been praying and then you backed up and tried to change your words to try to make it right? You know, you keep trying to fix it and everything. You don't have to fix your prayers. Right? Now, God may help you to pray differently. That's fine. But you don't have to fix your prayers because he already knows your heart. Before you start praying, he's already looked at your heart and knows what you're trying to pray, right? The Holy Spirit joins in with that and says, Father, I know what Jim's trying to say here. Let me change these words. Let me fix it right. You know, the Holy Spirit's helping to helping us with that, right? But we don't have to guard our words, and we don't have to make them flowery. I know some of you have told me, I just don't pray out loud because I've heard so-and-so pray, and they pray the most beautiful prayers, and I can't pray like that. I said, great, you're not supposed to pray like that. That's how they're supposed to pray. This is how you're supposed to pray. So, Mary, whatever comes out as a prayer is your prayer to God. Prayer is just talking to God. It's just that simple. God, here, I need to have a conversation. And he's up there, fine, go ahead. Then wait on it, right? But when you pray, go into your room, close the door, and pray to your Father who is unseen. Once again, this is not a prescription of you got to go inside some room or closet somewhere and close the door before you can pray. Remember, he's trying to get all the legalism out of it. He's saying, just go pray. You don't have to be seen by people. Then your Father who sees what is done in secret or what? He will reward you. And when you pray, do not keep on babbling like the pagans, for they think they will be heard because of their many words. You remember the story of Elijah on Mount Carmel, right? He's battling the prophets of Baal. It's 400-1, right? The odds, he's one. There's 400 of them. And they start crying out and praying these prayers over and over and over again, repeating themselves. Oh, God, fire, bring fire down. And never happened. And Elijah says, God, let's light some wood. And it was, right? It's burned all up, along with some water. You don't need to keep babbling on and on. God's not deaf where he can't hear you. God's not preoccupied where he's not paying attention to you. You ever tried to talk to your husband or wife and they're preoccupied? Oh, I see some looks going now. I shouldn't have said that. It used to be, he's reading the newspaper. Now he's reading his phone, or she's reading her phone or iPad or whatever, right? God's never preoccupied when you come to talk to him. He knows us all by name. When we start talking to him, he hears us. Don't babble like the pagans, for they think they'll be heard because of their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him. Oh. I love the meme that's going around on one of the social media sites. And it's got this gentleman looking around the door like he's trying to see something. He says, this is what I do when I've asked God about something and I'm checking to make sure he heard me. Are you sure you heard me, God? I'm guilty of that. This then is how you should pray. Now, we went over this in August. We preached a whole series on this. So I'm just going to read through and not talk a lot about it. It says, Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our debts as we've also forgiven our debtors. Lead us not to temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory. All right? So we talked about how we abide in Christ, and we use the Lord's Prayer as a way to talk about abiding in Christ. And so I won't go into detail on that. For if you forgive men when they've sinned against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins. Ouch. Once again, God's pointing at the heart. This is not a legalistic statement he's making here. He's saying, if you can't forgive people their sins when I've forgiven you of all of your sins, what is wrong with you? Where's the forgiveness? Where's the mercy? Where's the grace that you're supposed to have for people? God's saying, where's all that for other people when I've forgiven you? So when someone offends you, or when you're offended and they didn't intentionally offend you, but you become offended, you need to take a step back and say, Father, I need to forgive them first before I say anything else, or I may trip up on my words, right? And then we begin this process of forgiving them. Remember, forgiveness is between you and God. Reconciliation is between you and God and another person. God calls us to forgive one another. Now, he talks about fasting. He says, when you fast, do not look somber as the hypocrites do, for they disfigure their faces to show men their fasting.
Oh, fasting.
And they walk around with this sour look on their face because they want somebody to say, oh, what's wrong? Do you know anybody like that? In the workplace or at home? Do what? What are you? Eeyore? Oh, yeah. That's good. That's good. Don't fall for that trap, right? Don't fall for that. says, when they disfigure their face, don't act like that. I tell you the truth, they have received their reward in full. So if you're fasting and you go, oh, I'm just fasting this week and I'm just so tired and I'm hungry, that's your reward. You nailed it. Here's your trophy. Go put it on the shelf. You win. No. What does he say? But when you fast, put oil on your head and wash your face. Now, it depends on the weather. So if it's cold, you want to use like 10W5 oil, right? But if it's warm, you want to bump it up to like 40, right? Y'all don't have a clue what I'm talking about. If you ever change the oil in your car, you know what I'm talking about, right? People don't change their oil in the car anymore. They drive it and let somebody else change it. You know what I'm talking about, Spencer, right? Like 10W40, I mean, that's like a standard. Do what? You run 0W20, see? Same language. See? See? And then there's the synthetic blend versus just the plain oil, right? And then you got the pure synthetic. Amen. When you fast, put oil on your head. It's what it says right here. And what it's talking about? Wash your face. Teenage boys, your mamas have been telling you this for years. Wash your face. Right? Wash your face. You got food groups on it from 3 days ago. So that it will not be obvious to men that you're fasting, but only to your Father who is unseen. And your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. Amen. All right. Do not store up for yourself treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal. But store up for yourself treasures in heaven where moth and rust do not destroy and where thieves do not break in and steal. Now, if you've kept up with the news, stealing is a big thing now. Group stealing is a big thing. Large groups. They're pulling up in front of really big, nice stores in California and other places, and 40 to 50 people are jumping out of cars, running into the same store, stealing everything they can, running back out, throwing in the car, and take off. Group stealing. You know, I was coming along, you might have somebody steal one thing in one store, but now they do it in groups. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Ouch. My pastor used to say, you could look in somebody's checkbook and find out where their heart was. What we spend our money on. Now it would be you could look on their online banking statement, right? People don't have checkbooks anymore, basically. But where you spend the money is where your heart is. That's what Jesus is saying. Are you trying to accumulate things, more and more things, more and more things? Here's a 100% guarantee. You cannot take anything with you of a tangible nature into heaven when you go, or into hell for that matter. Although there was this guy back in the 70s when he passed away, he wanted to be buried in his gold-plated Cadillac. And he was, sitting at the steering wheel. That's got to look funny right now, right? 50 years later. Can't take it with us. We shouldn't accumulate it to the point where it's overwhelming us and controlling our lives. Store up for yourselves treasures in heaven. Now, how do we store ourselves up treasures in heaven? We've just been reading God will reward us. And so apparently when we do something, God rewards us, and that's stored up in heaven for us. You've heard the story of the folks that died and went to heaven at the same time. And Peter was going to walk them to their houses. He said, come follow me. And so they're walking down the street, and he's got three guys with him. The first guy gets this giant mansion, right? Big old beautiful lawn out front. And he said, this is your house. Oh, this is great. And as they get down the street further and further, the house gets smaller and smaller and smaller. The second guy, he gets into a smaller house. And the third guy, they get to the very end of the street. And it's like this cabin. The siding's not on it. You can see through the wall. You know, and the roof doesn't have the shingles on it, and no appliances or anything inside. The guy said, this is yours. He said, I don't understand why these guys get bigger houses than me. And Peter looked at him and said, well, we did what we could with what you sent ahead. We did what we could with what you sent ahead. That's not in the Bible, by the way. That's a little gemology. The eye is the lamp of the body, and if your eye is good, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eyes are bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. If then the light within you is darkness, how great is that darkness? It's not talking about our eyeballs. It's talking about the spiritual insight that we have about life and about things, where our treasure is, where our heart is. That's what he's talking about here. No one can serve two masters. Either he will hate the one and love the other, or he'll be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money. We live in sad times where people try to serve both. And God is saying, it's just not going to happen. And so it goes, don't worry. In my Bible, the heading is, do not worry, be happy. Well, I added the be happy. Don't worry, be happy. Therefore, I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more important than food, and the body more important than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? And who of you by worrying can add a single hour to your life? You know how many birds there are in the world right now? A lot. Someone has guessed approximately 50 billion birds flying around the world right now. And there's 8 billion people. Do you know where the most birds are right now, according to my online research? In the air? That's good, Barbara. You stole it from me. That's good, Barbara. You get to go get a donut. Colombia is ranked number one for the most birds. Number two is Peru, and number three is Brazil. Did you know that cats, domestic cats, some of your cats, are responsible for killing 2.5 billion birds a year in America alone? Did you know that 600 million birds fly into windows every year in America? I'm sorry. And that 200 million fly into cars every year. I don't know. I would love to know who's counting them. That's nothing better to do. It's a great question. I was just fascinated by the whole bird thing. I'm sorry. Thought y'all might be fascinated by it too, that your cats are killing birds. Here's the thing. God has figured out a way to feed 50 billion birds every day. There may be more than that. Some people estimate there's more. 50 billion birds a day get what they need to eat. Think about that for a minute. Could we as humans generate enough food to feed 50 billion birds a day? And if so, how much food would that take away from us? But yet God in his infinite wisdom and his perfect economy, he gives the birds enough to eat. He gives them clothes to wear. And sometimes we worry too much about things, don't we? We worry too much about our clothes, what we're going to have next. And God says, look, I can feed 50 billion birds. He fed 5,000 fish sandwiches from Long John Silver's, right, by the seaside, right? We know he did that. He fed 1 million manna 3 times a day in the wilderness, plus some quail. They had Chick-fil-A sandwiches. We know he did that. He'll take care of you. He says, which one of you by worrying can add a single hour to his life? So let's just pause for a moment. Can you do anything about the sun rising and setting? Can you do anything about the climate being hot or cold? 70 yesterday, 35 this morning. Welcome to Tennessee. Can you do anything about that? Can you do anything about the crazy people that are going crazy around the world? There's so many things that we don't have any control over. We shouldn't be spending any time worrying about them. Who can add a single hour to his life? And why do you worry about clothes? See how the lilies of the field grow? They do not labor or spin. Yet I tell you, not even Solomon in all of his splendor was dressed like one of these. Man, when you see a dark blue iris popping up around springtime, it's nothing more beautiful. Absolutely stunning. God made that. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and thrown into the fire tomorrow, how much more so will he clothe you? Oh, you of little faith. So do not worry saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the pagans run after these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. God knows that you need clothes. God knows that you need food. God knows these things. He's not ignorant about what we need. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble on its own. We're to seek the kingdom of God first and his righteousness. And all these things will be given to us. There's a givenness to this. If we had time, Debbie and I could talk about our journey, our faith journey, from the time we met and married and started doing things, how God provided for us. One thing that comes to my mind, we were newlyweds and we had one car and needed another car. And we were talking about it, thinking about it, praying about it. And all of a sudden I get a call. One of my great aunts had passed away and she had left her car to whoever the preacher was. Right? Whoever the preacher was. Well, I wound up being the only preacher in the bunch of cousins that were there. So we got this big, nice, beautiful Pontiac Catalina that had like 1,000 miles on it. She had not driven it. And all we had to do was put a battery in it. I mean, it was a big old honker too. But it was given to us. We didn't know to ask for it. We didn't know to go and say, what about this or the will there? It was just given to us. God loves to reward his children. He said it 3 times. So here's a few passages and then we'll close. Ephesians 2:10 says, we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus, to do good works, which God has appointed in advance for us to do. When we do the good works, those are works of righteousness. They accumulate, apparently, and are traded in somehow for rewards. God will reward us. It says he's going to reward us 3 times here. So our acts of righteousness leads to rewards. Colossians 3, whatever you do, work at it with all of your heart as unto the Lord, since you know that you will receive a reward from the Lord. Whatever you're doing right now, whatever work it is you're doing, work at it with all of your heart. If you're in school, work at it. Work at math, right? Work at English. Whatever it is you're studying. If you're in the work world, then work at it as if Jesus were your boss, because he is. Work at it as you're trying to please him. Don't goof off. Don't slack off. Give it 100%. Whatever work you're doing, that's what he's calling us to. Matthew 16, verse 27 says, for the Son of Man is going to come in his Father's glory with his angels, and then he will reward each person according to what he has done. Hebrews 11, 6, for without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who diligently seek after him. So I want to challenge all of us to seek his kingdom. You say, well, how do I do that? You simply say, Father, I want to seek your kingdom. How can I find your kingdom in today? I want your kingdom to come and your will to be done today. It goes back to the Lord's Prayer. That's how you seek his kingdom. Your kingdom come, your will be done. It's a simple prayer. Every day, Father, I want to find your kingdom. I want to be a part of it. I want to join in it today. Ask him for that. And the Bible says you will be rewarded. And so maybe you won't wind up with a little cabin that's not finished. Whatever that's going to look like in heaven, I don't have a clue what rewards look like in heaven, how it's going to manifest in reality. But the Bible does say that Jesus will reward us for our acts of righteousness. So I'm calling us to pay attention to the Holy Spirit and do the acts of righteousness that he calls us to do. Amen? Amen. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for loving us like you do. Thank you, Jesus, for dying on the cross for our sins, for coming back to life You're living in us and through us. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for being our teacher, our guide, our comforter. So come now, Holy Spirit, have your way with us. Teach us, guide us, correct us, comfort us, lead us, inform us, make us wise. Come, Holy Spirit, just have your way with us. Heal us physically, mentally, emotionally, spiritually. Heal our troubled hearts today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right. Who's got an encouraging word?